This is such a big point, and I can't underline this anymore. Please listen up, look into the eyes. I'm telling you something super important. The antithesis to the debt-based economy is gold. It's not Bitcoin. It is absolutely gold. You've got the super high here of 128 at the same time, and that's a bullish meter for precious metals. You want it low for bullishness, and you want a super high means the greatest undervaluation of precious metals generally, and silver particularly.
Francis Hunt, how you doing?
Great to be back with you. Thank you very much for having me on, Annie.
Thanks for coming on. Hey, stuff is moving and shaking, especially in the metals market, the commodities market. Let's jump into and talk about gold. What a movement we've had, and tell me where you're at and what you're seeing with the technicals.
Yes. So inside our community, which we have, we actually have a current setup on gold. So it's a pretty juicy one. It's a 10 times risk reward, and it's still got, it's having a down day now, but let's maybe, this is a question best answered by charts. So at the end of the day, if people ask me, what's my core competence? Yes, I have great, I hope, good fundamental views and takes. I suffer a few delusions about the people that control the economy and the society we live in. And those are quite interesting takes, hopefully, or on point. But the macro technical analysis is our key thing. And that is what I refer to. Many people say, well, charts, some people get turned off by charts, some people love it. It's image focused. So I just want to take a step back and say, this is the footprints in the sand. So insiders that have the heads up early move, and they move with conviction, and they usually have big money. That moves the market. You see it in the volume, you see it in key levels being run, et cetera, et cetera. So these things happen. Central bank would be a potential example for in terms of gold, as we're moving to the chart now, just to my left here. Gold had a setup, and we were long here, so we got long roughly on the break there. We considered this a triggering event. See that little green line, green for go stop? Yep. Over there. And that gives you quite a juicy risk reward on this draw. It's 982, but we were actually a tiny bit earlier because you got what we call a squeezy inside the funnel. This is the funnel anywhere in between the green and the red line. What are we doing? This is one of our classic setups. So gold has been brilliant because it's actually come at us at the one key way that we get interested in any market. So I tend to be technically, I prefer to trade HVFs than just gold. Sometimes gold isn't doing anything good. Sometimes it's going down. So I'm kind of agnostic by market, although by sound money, I'm particularly interested in gold. I'll be in other markets. We've called the Nikkei long and the Japanese yen short, and various other all sorts across FX markets. So instead of silos, we're a horizontal. So we go where the setup is. The amazing thing is my favorite market that I want to see do really well, that dovetails into my fundamental side. It's kind of why I couldn't have one brand. I had to have three. I'm a bit like that guy that says, why use one word when three will do and you can create an acronym? I needed three brands because I'm a reset sniper. I'm talking about how it all goes down, how you prepare for that financially, physically, socially. There's social aspects with that as well. And then at the same time, I'm aware of this new money system that's coming forward. So I'm watching crypto, but I have a jaundiced eye about its origin and the role it's meant to play, a bit of an on-ramp, a bit of a divergence potentially out of gold as a technique. We're not lovers and huddlers. We don't become believers. I feel belief is a word that's used too much in generally. People just buy into something. I think dispassionate assessment is always going to serve you well. However, on gold, my dispassionate assessment is that it's been exceedingly good at saving buying power in the many multitude of secular market failures and empire failures. And I don't argue with long-standing history, and I think everybody appreciates it. So I'm about as close to the word belief as one can get on gold, while still saying, other things will go up faster in this market or environment. But if grid goes down, if we have extremity, we have zombie apocalypse, I'd sooner hold this asset than anything electronic. But I don't think you have to make that decision. I think you should have a stable of horses rather than being someone that becomes that guy. You just shill for one thing right. with all your soul and passion. So there's many ways. You know, when you prep, you need more than just a Swiss Army knife. You need to light fire. You need how to shoot an animal, how to maybe grow something organically. There's quite a few tools in that. You don't go, I'm this crossbow guy only, or I'm the, you know, I'm the Zippo lighter guy, because you're going to go hungry eating your flint. So in that sense, people tend to get a little bit mono, like there's one solution. There isn't. There's many different solutions to many different things. Anyway, back to your question, because I just had to sidebar a bit there, because there's, I think philosophically people lose their way a little bit sometimes. And maybe it's just helpful for me to define where I am philosophically, so that you know what you should get from me. I should be consistent, hopefully. So we jumped in a little earlier than the green line on this one. And we're expecting, and you're saying, where's he dragging that up? This is a bit of a risk-reward chart. And that'd be just under 14. We got in early because we were lucky to spot the squeeze on gold as it started moving. So we were before the green line, and our stops are there. By the way, we also invested. So we differentiate also from different time frames. Investment is non-time sensitive. It's something you do on a basis of a much larger chart or a fundamental view. I like charting for everything. I think you want a fundamental view, just get bigger charts. So long run, gold looks good macroeconomically on the big time frame charts. However, at a moment like this, on a smaller time frame, such as the 4 hour as I'm illustrating here, we actually have our favorite setup, which is simply put, three key impulses. This is what I was saying is almost like a lifeboat in the water, where the water line was the 2K, a very key level. So it's sitting keel deep in the water. So you get a couple of bits of it below the water, but actually, you know, it's sitting on top now. This is now a support layer. It technically just runs it in its worst moments there and there, because you've got to have part of the boat in the water to be able to steer the boat. But in a sense, we have a law in our method that says key levels of significance are usually just run, both to the downside and the upside. But this is a setup which has kind of been settling in and around our orange line, which is a little bit more difficult to see, but it's the midpoint between the green and the red, and it's just north of 2000 with $25. So this is a wind-up and compression, volatility constriction on gold that we have been long on leverage now, to take those profits when we make our target and turn it into, again, investment gold. So we want to stack more investment gold, but we have other interesting investment tools as well. So the total target here is in around 2206 on this draw, depending on which market you do. So forex.com, slightly different data than Oanda, for example. So I'm around 2205 to 2210. I think we'll have a little bit of a rest. Interestingly, people that have just come on or are watching this in a couple of days' time will say, well, you've already had a pullback there. So yes, this is how we expect the market to move. We expect it to break with a nice impulsive candle that you got. Then we expect it, once it meets our first interim, to have a pullback that you got. Then to make good progress to the next level, small pullback, and then sometimes it can have a delayed bigger pullback. And rest for a bit. Could even do all the way this. Then it could have an inverted head and shoulder, do that, and you get a reversal there, and then we're back on the gold chain. And then you can break the targets with a bit of an overrun, and then we can pause for a bit and come down and around and set up new structure again. So that would be a flight path that I would say, a possible example of what we expect to have next. Don't forget, we've had a period of dollar weakness that gave this a bit of turbo juice. And disorderly moves in the currency markets are not popular with the Fed or central bankers as a whole. So it's natural to assume, especially as you've run our second interim, that's the dashed purple line. You get the dotted, the dashed, and the solid. That's the final target, as I say. So you tend to have a longer rest after the bigger effort. There's a little bit more exhaustion built up on what's been a pretty strong line of efficiency, which is gradient. From right. where we are to its high point. So the take on gold is actually a very bullish one, in spite of the fact that you're having a little bit of a dull day today and a bit of a pullback. So let me let you unpack some of that and come back at me.
Yeah, well, it looks like I see that you had the compression there and then that huge breakout. I guess the next thing is what you just said, we're looking at this after that breakout, we're looking at something to settle. Where do you see it settling again? I mean, just What's I mean, are we looking to get to around the 2100? Or you drew a line here about 2140, but yeah, what's the, where would you be interested in getting putting on a new trade here, or with the next structure that would settle, if you would? Does that all make sense?
Yes. So a couple of things from what you were saying there. Generally, if I were guessing how far, and trying to do the best educated guess, sure, of how far it will pull back, I would typically look for smaller time frame reversal structures.
Yeah.
You didn't fully get anything recognizable here. You went kind of very flat, and you got what we refer to as convexity, which is rounding out. So if I just draw here, you might just see broadly that you got a bit of a semicircle here. I would say the key level was around 2175. So we're a big subscriber to the level, the law of round numbers. Don't forget, right, derivatives and options are all based in and around round numbers. At this level, the round number was probably around 2175. So it didn't make 2.2 yet, as you're aware. And we seem to, you know, just run. This is sort of bouncing support. You're getting a little bit, quite low vol. Then you came down again to it again, and you had again a weak rally, which is a grind, a little bit of a flag. You dip below it, you got a return move that was super volatile that led to a smash down. So we had a bit of volatility there that gave it a bit of a bit of whiplash. And that's probably got, again, to do with dollar statements and data. So we've had some data come out, for example, today. It's going to be data heavy. I have to just pull this down to see the tag. Sorry. So there it is. And if you have a look at the data, this would have maybe today caused it a little bit of a headache. So the framing, and I think this is incorrect framing, and this is a very interesting talking point, which I'll just maybe put a bit of detail on. The framing for gold go up, and also to a degree Bitcoin go up, although Bitcoin's got its own drivers with the ETF and the establishment of this whole new game and industry. But the framing is, if CPI comes in higher than expectations, it's bad for metals and Bitcoin. They don't pay yield. It's great, you know, for treasuries and things like that. It's also bad for stocks potentially. So you had a beat there, a green number that came in higher there on core CPI. That was at 2:30 Tuesday. So that number just come in. We're at 10. We're at 7 p.m. That data is busy working its way through the system. So that would have been deemed as a negative. Now, the market likes to establish a template of how it responds to data. So anything that could imply less of interest rate cuts or none at all, or potentially even interest rate rises rather than cuts, should be pressure on the precious metals group. So that's right. Why today, the recent data will be doing that. Now, I would actually go so far as to say, for a while, that will be the case, maybe, and maybe there's some minor justification for it to be that case. But in the general, I would say we're actually in an environment where it's no longer about yield. This is the yield argument. Gold doesn't yield. The search for yield, you know, while treasuries, if interest rates are going up or not going down as much as expected, it's giving you more yield. Everybody will rather buy bonds instead of gold. And, right. And my overall take is that we had peak bonds in the year of March 2020. That was the event that may not be named. And during that event, that was the top of bonds. So in essence, they created so much fear and they crashed the stock market, they crashed Bitcoin, they crashed a lot. They crashed the gold market as well, although it rebounded fairly quickly. That was a fear trade. And in those extremities of moments, people go, safety, ironic, smile, sarcastic, US debt. So that pushes hypervaluation and drops the yields. And everybody goes, I'm safe here. With everything else going down 20 or 30%, now I'm safe. But what's actually happening is that the trust in debt and the pension systems and the lack of liquidity when pensions need to sell, all of these things have been undermining since March 2020. That existed in me well before, but for a lot of people practically in the markets, it's only in 2021 and 2022 and the British pension crisis and all of that. There was no bid under the thing. The Japanese are no bid in their markets, in the debt markets, that people are going, debt markets, safe as houses. Not so sure about that anymore. Right. Yeah, so the case then becomes capital preservation. In other words, return of capital rather return on capital. And this actually sees physically held gold being more supreme than a bond, because the minute we get a little bit more fear, people will actually say, well, maybe it's the debt that will go into trouble. And people are running to the burning house instead of from the burning house on the next crisis. So where previously it was always the safe haven, the safe haven has fallen hard in terms of that. You'll know about the 60-40 portfolios that had record losses two or 3 years almost in a row on account of both the bond market and a bit of a shaky stock market in a number of those years. So that principle has gone away, and this feeds into gold. So the greatest cash preservation tool, in other words, that insurance policy against complete systemic failure, for which we are in the reset season, that you know that because the World Economic Forum and all of these guys are talking about it. They're clearly signaling and signing for a transition event. So the real event is not to be in debt, absolutely not to be in debt. And I chastise anybody who's, and there's been one or two that said, yes, I agree, I'm not in debt. And then they go, oh, but the yields are kind of high, I'll go have a little play. The music will stop. You'll make your 5% for 1 year and you'll lose everything.
And you get fleeced.
You won't get your capital back. Well done on the 5%.
Right.
You lost 95%. Gold bar, still there, still in your hand, still money of millennia, and actually will go up in value in whatever beans or new unit of currency that goes. So that's kind of where I stand fundamentally. But you started with your question, like how far do we go to the downside on this? It's a bit of a short time frame one, and we tend not to get too drawn in on the shorter time frames. The bigger time frame structures are more reliable. We did have a continuation pattern here that you've run the level of. So that would have been, you know, a bit of a locale point, then you've got a rounded head. You can have a bit of a rally here. You could have a rising wedge, and then, you know, you could fall again. It ain't necessarily over, and this can still reverse and go to our 200. Our default position is we expect our target, and we're in so early now, we'll let it eat some of that profit. We don't trail stops, because we are holding for the full reward. People that trail stops end up getting suboptimal exits. It's a bit, I on that point, I've just dragged up a pet hate, because some people say, well, why don't you trail stops and, you know, you can lock in a minimum amount. No, you've got to give it room to breathe, to pull back, to make your bigger target. With the target, we have a limit order that sells, and we often sell on wicks on the high side, just as it's resting. If your exit strategy is stop losses, you always get out on the worst piece of downside behavior. It's a suboptimal exit strategy, because it's after something negative is happening. And when you draw your line of efficiency, how much time from your entry to where your exits are, if you're getting out on stops, it's always along the lows of the far range of the price behavior. And if you have limit sells, it's always along the top. So we always seek to get out of longs on limits that are above the price behavior, not on stops that are behind. And the example I'd give is, you know, you have two brakes in a car. One of them is the handbrake, but you don't know, one is an emergency when all else goes wrong and things aren't going as expected. You don't go up to every little four-way stop street and not use your foot brake and pull up the handbrake and lock up the grids behind the guy who's in front of you, who's waiting for you to career into the back of him, all four tires locked up and skidding. It's just not effective. It's not designed as a brake. It's an emergency for holding the car on heels, and you know, it's a suboptimal use, and exit like that is represents that. So that, yeah, that's just a bit of our philosophy. So our position is, you can come all the way back and run our stop, but we've given it so much space, it's unlikely. And we tend to find that the success of the setups, particularly when they've got this far, because the probability of completion goes ever higher as it progresses towards our target, this has still quite a high probability of outcome. And of course, it's a 10 or even 14 risk reward. We want the whole 14. We don't want to be scalping along the lows a 3 risk reward or a 4 risk reward when there was a 14 in the mix. So I wouldn't know where to guess on downside. I'd have to draw levels. I don't think it would get down there, but you never know. There was a bit of a level there. And the other level as I kind of showed here, which we've already tested. So you could be near to the low. This was a little bit of volatility again, but I think it was news related. And they overreact and they snap back. So you kind of need the volatility to shake itself out and to calm down. And you need it to almost get boring first. That's the beginning of good. So low volatility tends to be the beginning of good most instances.
Yep. Let's talk about silver, if we can transition to that. How is that in relationship to, how is that acting in relationship to gold and the gold charts?
Yeah, so there's two parts to your question. We can talk about silver and we can talk about silver in relationship to gold. I'll do both. One will be the gold-silver ratio chart. The other one will be just silver generally. You can see silver is sympathized. It started actually a run and made a high on that data of volatility. So it was wanting to go a little bit higher. Let's just get a bigger time frame though for you. And this is our read on it on a slightly bigger time frame. So it's been pretty range congested for quite a substantial period, silver. I'll just remove that for a second. It's not needed. And the 22 was a sort of what we call a soft floor quite a few times. Yeah. So it's been a sort of underlying. You did have a violation there, but you've been kind of supporting all the way along. And there's been instances even before. You had one big violation and a violation there of the 22. But the 22's kind of been a soft floor. You had a bit of a falling wedge, which is a squeeze of volatility again, but this time it's at an angle. So that was like that. And that's why that flagged the gold. As gold was getting good, you broke out, return move, standard, and then you're heading back up. And you're heading back up. This is an interesting level, this line over here. I'll take you up a time frame and say, why do we have that? Because we've got a big structured setup generally. Go up 3 times, let's see what we get. This is one of the reasons why we think we'll be in the 49s, 50 range, the 45 to 50 range, not too far off. Because in essence, this has been a very strong surge during the bull market. Don't forget, silver was quite badly hit as the events of CV19 occurred. And then it ran really strongly here, got into the 30s after touching 11, so almost a 3x. This entire lengthy period has been a very difficult one for silver miners, silver commodity investors, because it's one long megaphone. In other words, it's largely traded down in a series of congestion. So it's been a downward leaning congestion. And that's a descending megaphone for us on what we call a bullish pole. And these tend to, in our opinion, finalize or to resolve and terminate and start new moves to the upside. So we have projections from the lowest point that will take us up to 45, the lowest point being over here. And you can see you've been bunching up across this particular line. We call that the capping descending grind line. We got a little fake break there with a test and then a slam back down. That was when gold had its surge and got hit pretty hard back. But silver was more hard done by. And we'll cover that when we get to the relative valuations. But overall, this structure, we anticipate this level, which I've doubled up and now tripling up, to be the one that breaks, which you start to get a little bit of squaring up under this roof here. And that then leads to a break to the upside. And then we start to get some progress where we should go. So that's how that megaphone, that descending, the splitter, that's the bit in the middle here that points which way it's going. Descending megaphone bull pole resolved to the upside. In other words, the capping descending grind line over here, we expect to see broken as opposed to the basing one. So that's the silver, the price. So in time, it's still inside the pattern, though. It hasn't got out. So it needs, that's why I have this line here. It kind of needs this line to break out of this line over here and hold. This one was playing with a line, kind of like a child when you say, don't put your foot across that line in the sand. And then he just did like that, you know, he's not really stepping over, but he's having a little play. So we're turning a little bit back again from here. Every time we're getting close to this line, we're getting turned back until we don't. And I would say it's once, twice, three times, and often it's the fourth time where you break. I said this on gold with the holding a monthly close on the 2000. And again, it was once, twice, three times. Fourth time we held a full monthly close above 2000. And now mostly we've been setting up, winding up for more upside above the 2000 level, as I was describing. So let's go to the relative valuation, which was the second part of your question.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gold-silver ratio. And you've been a bit bedeviled. This is where we are again, because you're on the, you're in a channel. I'm going to take that off.
Compression at the
yeah,
top.
Yeah, that's it. You got a, you do have, there's a very, very bunchy bit of, and that can resolve in two ways, down like that, which will be good for both,
mm-hmm.
or up, which could mean gold doing okay, silver still lagging, or gold going down, silver more so. But as long as we're in this channel, the big break isn't happening. But the key thing is this lower, big, thick, dotted red line, I can bring it all the way through if you like. That's going to be, when that basing ascending grind line is broken, that is going to be all our Christmases starting to come for the precious metals bull market, with the other precious metals participating more so than has been until now. And I would expect when that breaks, if it, let's just say it happens shortly in the way I've drawn there, you know, you might grind along the lows for a while, then break. You typically may have a return move and then you have a capitulation. And then we'd get down to the 65. That will happen very fast. Things are going slow and boring. It's, I compare it. Everybody's a middle distance runner. And, you know, they get too exhausted for the long haul. You actually need to be way calmer in the beginning. The thing's going to walk and bore the bejesus out of you. And it's going to try and get you to fall asleep on your shift. And then when you're not watching, it's going to gangbusters run faster than you've ever seen anything run. And then you're going to be caught chasing and left behind. So the whole game is not to miss the major move. So be investment in, because you're already going to do well if and when that happens, even if you're sleeping, not paying attention. As a trader, I'm a little bit less interested when it's on the high side of the channel. I have alerts and it starts notifying me if it starts crossing. For me, the break of that channel is the beginning of a big right shoulder ending on a macro head and shoulder. And I haven't shown you this big chart, so I will. But we think there's a macro head and shoulder that'll take you to 30 and below in terms of this. This is the relative valuations of gold and silver, and this is our take. So we feel, you know, around about 15, 16, you had the Shanghai Accord there. You had a bit of a run in metals because that was China being admitted to being hopelessly over-indebted. They created all the heat in the global economy after the dot-com, when America, the West, was all broken, 08, 09. And that was a depression, by the way. And so they said to the Chinese, there's nothing that's going on in this world economy. You have to buy up everything and build. So China went building apartments to, you know, bad standards, buying all the copper, doing everything, and did it to the point of supreme indebtedness. So that's a left shoulder. Then we went into this lengthy period that ended up with the 2020 event. So I make this point regularly, and most people miss this. The events of March 2020 absolutely are seminal for the following reason. It is more seminal than subprime, more seminal than everything in the financial markets. It was the top and end of the bull for debt market. It's a 40-year. It's the first time ever we said, this is not going any further up. We were never making any calls on the bond market. After March 2020, we said, this is a done asset class. It goes down in value and you're going to have ever higher stubborn rates until you have the reset event, which will mean, you know, who knows what.
Right.
And similarly, which just goes to show that the true antithesis to a debt-based economy, gold had the highest ever spike in its relative gold-silver ratio. This is such a big point, and I can't underline this anymore. Please listen up. Look into the eyes. I'm telling you something super important. The antithesis to the debt-based economy is gold. It's not Bitcoin. It is absolutely gold. You got the super high here of 128 at the same time. And that's a bullish meter for precious metals. You want it low for bullishness, and you want a super high means the greatest undervaluation of precious metals generally, and silver particularly. So the highest point ever on the relative valuation of the two, and the bearish, most bearish indicator for precious metals, was a very quick spike that came down violently once it was done. This is like the NASDAQ blow off. Think of that. A very quick spike that got absolutely slammed in a very short time, went from 128 and got slammed sub 65. Can give you a value there of that low wick just for the fun of it. But it was, okay, 66. So you went from 128 to 66 in a very short period. That is a proper slap in the face trend change event. In the same way that the debt markets, and we call this on TLT, which is the ETF of long-term, a portfolio of 20 and 30 year plus, and I can bring that chart up as well for you. And it got a huge head and shoulders as well that broke down and has already made its target and is a secular reversal for which that target will continue to see further downside and overperformance. So it's not just about making a target. A head and shoulders can do a target, but it continues cyclically down for a lot longer. So the target is actually the first prize. It's not the only prize if you're short. And in the exact same way, the inverse indicator for bullishness on precious metals has a head and shoulder too. And this is what I'm drawing here for you. So that was the head, 128. I don't think you're ever seeing that number again. That's what makes it a seminal head. And I think you're going to have an extreme counter reaction that could see a ridiculously low value. And I've even been on record, people are underpricing that in the point of debt collapse, you could actually get a single digit gold-silver ratio.
Wow.
Single digit, that means 9.99 and anything less.
So if it's single digit, what is the price of silver?
Well, you know, let's just say 10. Let's say it's 9.99, that it just makes it. You would have a situation where you could have gold at, let's say this will be a very, very concerning debt position, by the way. You also have to remember the dollar value may not be, that dollar may not buy you quite what it did today or even 10 years ago, even less so. But if you're on a 3,000 or 5,000 gold, you could have silver at a 300 or 500 or greater for it to be a single digit. Don't forget, it's also only mined at about 8:1 as well. So it's... Yep. You know, it would be, but typically that's below. Markets tend to overshoot one side. When they do it to an extreme level, there's a natural geometry that actually often sees that leverage and all the perversion that caused that to happen have to unwind, leading to a massive undershoot on the other side.
By a similar degree.
So it's a bit like punching the inflatable policeman. The harder I hit him, the harder he comes back at me. A small tap like that, and he's just rocking like this. A full-on right hook, and he goes horizontal. I got to watch out. He's coming back up. He's going to headbutt me. So this is, in essence, the natural geometry that exists in markets. Our entire methodology is based on it, and it gives us unbelievable targeting and great results. So there's that natural geometry because you're actually perverting to one extreme for an extended period, and all that degree of perversion has to be unwound if we get a true market. And I want to actually say, for many people, you've got to also bear in mind, you may not get a normal market where you have a broker and you get to trade that through to that point. Because somewhere during that process, you could have a massive counterparty risk failure, and you can have a whole hobgoblins and shut down social unrest, the whole caboodle, and then it gets revalued to that point in retrospect as part of some solution two or three years after all the drama.
Yep.
That doesn't prove us wrong. It just means systemically the infrastructure was too frail to handle the full geometry of the unwind.
Yep.
But the unwind still happens because the perversion was there. So that's kind of it. It's a bit of a bulkier right shoulder than the left shoulder. We're not too mad about that. But there's definitely been a channel here, and it's been in a sort of, call it sometimes the watermelon smile, but it's been zigging and zagging for an extended period here. And now it's in the upper half. So I want to see it break down hard and get into the lower half, and then I'll start watching more closely. We put alerts while it's on the upside, a higher side. Silver is not about to outperform gold. Gold is your holding still and should be your first. Gold moves first. So the golden rule, gold is God market. Gold moves first. Buy up the gold first. Once you start to see this reverse and breaking this line, if you've gone largely gold and you have a small or a third of your buy value in silver, which will actually be by weight a lot more, but a third buy value in silver or even 25%. So you should have been gold more. You would be doing better. Silver's let you down for all the people who got silver too early. I mean, you've gone up and down. Unless you bought at $11 at the base, most people are too afraid to at the lows. So as we move into the more second phase of the precious metals bull market, so you will rotate a bit more of your gold into silver and you'll get a bit more of the performance. However, it will spike to a high potentially, assuming we have natural markets still, and you haven't had counterparty broker failure and all the great taking play out on you. And you should have, you should be able to, you should be investment purchasing as well. Some of the leverage guys are affected by the brokers. If you're investment purchasing, you know, your parcels should arrive fairly quickly. And you go from, you know, you go from there. And you keep stacking. But for us, silver, when it breaks that ascending line, that dashed red line, that's when I will start rotating some of the gold into silver and buying more largely silver. And at that point, I would also expect the firing order to start including some of the miners doing well.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So the miners have been pretty disappointing here the last 24 months. So are they going to finally catch up to the metal?
Indeed. I mean, what's your favorite benchmark? I'll go to any one of them because the answer lies again for me in the charts. GDXJ, GDX.
Yeah, let's go to the juniors.
So you've got to remember the inflation in costs and commodities have affected their profits immensely. They've faced the inflation without getting the inflation on their product price, particularly. So they've had a margin squeeze. And if you listen to certain commentators, the prices where they are right now don't have much in them for being, you know, cost, just about cost covering. I can tell you that on platinum, the platinum price is below cost covering in South African rands, and that's a damaged currency. You know, it's about 21 to the Swiss franc. It's about 18.8 to the dollar. And they need $1,000 and 20 rand to the dollar. The rand's actually a bit too strong to the dollar at 18.8, and you're in 900s. They're not making money. And the only reason they've been able to continue to operate is because they were pulling rhodium and palladium out that both went into subsequent bear markets, but they had initially massive bull runs. So the relatively trace elements of rhodium, palladium, and the small volume you get with platinum,
that's where they made money.
They could cover the discrepancy of the platinum. So if you're digging a hole for rhodium and palladium and you're getting some platinum out and you're getting some money towards it, but it's not break even money. Mm-hmm. Now those both collapsed, and we just pointed out recently that the palladium looks like it's turning as part of the platinum group. So that could be good news if we start to see all the precious metals group groundswell start heading up. And I can show you that chart as well if you like, but we haven't analyzed GDXJ yet. So this is a guy, let's just see, we're on the weekly time frame. I'm just going to go right up to the bigger time frame. There's not much more history there, so we'll leave it on the weekly. So we've done a couple of lines drawn here. Essentially, you're at a low there. You just ran that, and we pointed out that that's in essence a bit of a slightly rounded bottom. Then that was the events that may not be named, boom. So it's a kind of a W bottom in a simplistic term. A little bit of a long way around, but a W bottom. But the problem is you're broke, and that should have been the bull market. But what's happened is you're getting more of a silver type reaction and even more extreme than you've had a gold type reaction, because gold's gone on to make new highs, but silver hasn't. The junior miners would have, you know, higher costs. They don't have economies of scale, and that's dragged them down. We call that a broadening structure. We'd call it a slide on its own. And typically, eventually, we'd expect that to break again, the high side at some point. But you're first bouncing around and getting ever more volatile the deeper you get.
Right.
That was a horrible spill. Tends to settle down and stop making new wild swings. And it lowers in volatility. And that's often when you get a reversal. You could squeeze up against that line, then you break. And then we need to get back above this line, which is the neckline, which is around 50, the key round number for the GDXJ. So you need to get back up to 50 and break again. So then you would have 124.82 as your target.
Then you'd be off to the
races.
That's
still possible, yeah. But it's been a little bit of a long detour for this W bottom. Because essentially, don't forget, you're trading this technical structure. So you're broke and you've kind of had a sickly spell. It got a little bit sidewinded. You know, you've also had oil prices go up, and you know, it takes a lot of energy to dig a massive hole in the ground and then break rock and bring it up to the surface. So that's the value of mining. It's real mining, unlike sort of Bitcoin mining doing useless sums that doesn't serve any purpose apart from security. You're not actually building anything. You're digging a hole in the ground. Now, many people say that's not worth very much, but it takes a lot of real energy to do that,
to get that out.
So we need to see that get back above, and then that target could become an interesting point of interest.
Real quick, let's talk about crypto. You had Bitcoin's screaming up, and you mentioned that XRP might be breaking out.
In fact, just before we leave metals and we were talking miners, I'll just show you this one. This is one that's in our community. I'm going to bring the share back if I can. It started to hang, as it sometimes does, TradingView, when you're running so many of the blotters. So this is IO gold and silver. That's in Toronto. Okay. We actually like that, and we think you're good at least for 24, and you're trading $10 at the moment. So at some point, it's going to get through our green line and a red. So there's a hot tip for a mining stock for you. It could dip a little lower than this red line. We've taken a risk and got in early. But people can wait for a buy stop there. And if it dips lower, you're not triggered into the market. So that entry is 10.57, or my apologies, 11 Canadian. And then you're going all the way up to at least 24. And we'll leave some on for a wild card possibility right the way up to 71. And that'll be on gold and silver at different price points if it is to happen. So that's the, I just thought I'd leave. Quality guys who might like a share. So let's go over to old crypto. So this is quite a low time frame. It's valuable just to show people what's happened.
Yeah, look at that.
You know, in perspective. And that's the ETF factor. The ETF started to, you know, get moving as a factor from around here at the 25. And you're now at 71. So
look at
pretty
that.
Good, pretty good, it's pretty great. Good. So we've been getting a lot of value out of this. We've been dominant in crypto. And actually, in fairness to Bitcoin, it's been the best, probably consistently, not the highest on any given day, because there's much smaller caps that can super run. But this has been one of the better ones. You've had a real surge. And actually, most times when it looks like it's slowing down, you end up with a bit of a surge sell period. You see, it looked like it was slowing down.
Yep.
We said it's the unicorn phase. Don't exit. Be net long crypto.
Right.
And this is a grinding period. Most technical analysts will say, well, grinding up like that, you would expect to sell. Yes, you can, but you got one here, for example, and then it got shrugged off and now you're higher. So this is not one to be jumping in and out of. You just hold it and be strong and go and go and go and go. That would be take on that one. And by the way, it's only just run. So let's just give people some perspective on this. It's only just run the high, which was 69. and you're sitting at 70.
Look at
so
that.
If I were just to bring you, yeah, some perspective on all of this and ensure that, let's get, is that bit stamp? We want a bit of history. Yeah, that's a bit of history. I'm going to go on log scale. So when you have very long-term charts of highly parabolic moves, mm-hmm. much better just to go log scale and get percentage. So my overall opinion in terms of where you are in this bull market is roughly here. And I think we had a bit of a truncated bull in this instance. But yep. I think this is the period of bull. You know, you'd settled here, that you started to go bullish. And I would say the 64 probably was the beginning of the end. So you're about one third way mark, just at the high there. And I actually think that's last year was a bit different, a bit weird. I would say if you look at it in the previous year, we had a lot of failures and very nasty bearishness. Hedge fund failed. All the initial early crooks had come in and were getting flushed out. So you would argue in dollar terms. So most of you looking at that, you would say it looks like halfway. I would say the bull market started there for this one. And then the really juicy bit went there. And everyone will look at that and say, well, it's kind of halfway. I would say you're less than halfway. You're probably only at 35, 40%. Don't forget we're on a percentage-based chart.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if that market started running and it was 225 Bitcoin, and when it made a new high, it was, let's just say 900. You've made 225 to 900, let's just say 925, $700. On 225. Okay, it's not bad in a multiple sense, but it's $700. If you're talking about absolute gain, going from 900 to 20,000, well, that's $19,000 on the 1,000, you know? Yeah. So in absolute terms, it's still early.
Yeah.
In percentage multiple terms, because you're multiplying an ever bigger number, you know, you might be at the halfway point. You've done, you know, an X multiple from the lower number up. Now you've got to multiply from a bigger number to do the same again. So you, by being just here right now, are the equivalence of that spot or that spot. And I think this was more typical. And I think what you'll get is going to be a hybrid version of these two bull markets. Even if you say, well, that wasn't such a great one, you were getting in around 20. It's mm-hmm. still trading at 69.
That's a good move, Stone. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's bad. That was a bad bear market, you know. It was a truncated one. If you're getting in here at 900 or 1,000, you went 20 times.
Yeah. That's a great move.
20 to 69. Okay. You went 2.5, you know.
Yeah.
You know, 3.5, sorry, times. So it's not quite as big a multiple. But if there's a reset and a debt collapse,
there could be. Yep.
This has to hyperinflate.
Yep.
Up. So I always use the simple analogy. I like simple metaphors. I'm a simple guy. You've got a planet Jupiter banking system. It's the facade. It's hollow in the middle. It's ready to collapse in on of itself and be a dust ball. But by size and space that it takes, it's Jupiter. And the mm-hmm. crypto market, by comparison, market cap is literally a beach ball in the corner of my room here that I'll point you yep. down to. So you have to hyperinflate by space, something that's got to assume these huge numbers, these trillions of debt. A lot of it might get written off and deflated down, and we might drop a lot of zeros, a bit like Zimbabwe, you know, after umpteen inflations, instead of saying you're 1,000 trillion. You know, Zimbabwean dollars, they just, you know, knock nine zeros off or something. But so we may do a little bit of that, but that's just the numerator. You've still got a lot of financial activity, debt, and you think, that's not mentioning derivative markets, that have to move over. Now, that's not going to happen in one go. You're on right. this massive, huge old camel that's literally waiting for the last straw to fall on its back before it falls on its knees. And we're all sitting on it, lumbering along like this in the desert. And here comes riding up this fresh little Tonto pony who's fresh as all day, but he's a bit of a midget. He's got to, you know, we can start loading some people off the camel onto little Tonto, but he's bouncy and young. and he's strong and fresh, but he needs to also grow a bit bigger. So we can't add them all at one go. So there's going to be a parallel running period where all of us are jumping off this flea-ridden on its deathbed camel, waiting for the last straw to drop on its knees, onto the fresh young teenager Tonto Pony that is our hero, brought to us by the Lone Ranger that may not be named, Satoshi Nakamoto, the great fairy tale. And, you know, so there's going to have to be a parallel running period.
Right.
But there's a rug pull coming on the old dog. Don't be the last to leave, because all your stuff will disappear that's left on it. You're changing trains. You're on the Iron Horse. I used to watch the Western, American Western, the Iron Horse, you know. And it's just kind of the bonanza area, giving my age away. But
me too.
Get all your stuff off the Iron Horse onto the new Swish monorail.
Right.
Get on early and have physical stuff. And the thing that will arch you over and retain value is the greater confidence I have for retaining value is actually gold. Because there could be vulnerabilities in digital around power, internet, tax, competing with CBDCs, lots of things. But it could also win. So have some in it and be prepared to lose it so that you can benefit from the upside. Great, have a Bitcoin. Michael Saylor tells you that you'll be one of the richest people in the world just off one Bitcoin. Have one Bitcoin and keep it at sea, but let it be a wild card. Don't put everything in that horse and go for two or three Bitcoin. Rather have the one Bitcoin and have, you know, a couple of kilos of gold. You know, Bitcoin's now more valuable than a kilo of gold, I think. I think it's about the same price. Kilo, not an ounce.
Right.
So, you know, I've got a few. I'm lucky to have. It's quite a weight when you hold it, and it's a pretty pure substance. You know, I'd probably say with all that's coming, you give up some of the return and have some of the surety.
Security.
What a blend of both. So it's not about, people get too antagonistic. I think it's statist. I think it's controlled, but they might allow it to survive. They might allow, you know, the big banker kings to have a lot of it. And it might be able to coexist with a CBDC with certain rules and capital gains taxes and various other things, but it might not. I don't know. So that's why I would spread it around and expect one of your pots to blow up.
I agree with you. Francis Hunt, the market sniper. Thanks so much. If somebody wants to join your community, where do they go and what do they do?
Well, the simplest and safest thing for you to do that costs you absolutely nothing is hit the subscribe button. Always hit that notification. We're not popular with the algorithm for discussing and mentioning things that get you strikes as well within that. But we are focused on building financial wealth in reset season, which is completely different, and retaining that wealth, preserving that wealth for a big chasm. We've all got a cross. And many of our audience is American. We have a lot of Americans in our community and Canadians, as well as Australians, English, etc. But many of you are. So I'll use the Colorado. You know, you have an amazing tourist venue, and it's called the Grand Canyon. And the difference about this financial world is you're not running across the plain where it's consistent. At some point, we're jumping a chasm. And the safest thing to have to get you over that is your golden running shoes that allow you to do that long jump. And that will carry the wealth over. But there's a lot more in terms of financial preparation for what we see coming and how we interpret the moves of the likes of our mass orchestrators that are pulling all the shots. And there is wealth to be built. And can I say, it sounds very black pill, morbid, dangerous. Actually, great wealth is built in times of uncertainty. And the Chinese have that logo that means crisis and opportunity. There are huge opportunities. So I am kind of a glass half empty kind of guy for all the right reasons. All the potential is actually in that open space. And you are going to get an opportunity to grab some of that potential. Don't stop worrying about what you already have. In actual fact, there's more for you to gain and you can get wealthier. And this is going to be a polarizing event where those that are financially awake, well-informed, and taking true action of preservation and wealth building actually can become part of that tier of class that we probably all resent, on the basis that you'll be able to buy everybody else's carbon credits and travel, even if travel is very hard for the everyday man, because you made the right calls in the period where the great turning was going to happen. And all the risks and all the threats are things we cover. An HVF method for exploiting and being in the right cryptos, in the right mining shares, is an excellent technical method. Follow the YouTube channel to see how it goes, whether you like what we do. We follow charts. We trust nobody in terms of what they say, particularly if they're statist, but the money moves and the insiders always want to steal with their insider knowledge. So we don't get to be first, but we get to be in the first group. And we're quite happy to be in the peloton of the cyclists on the back, wind, you know, riding in their wind pocket. And that is how we'll build our way to wealth and how we'll preserve it in what is an abnormal time. Your traditional financial advice that you've had, bonds and stock portfolios, etc., will not serve you for this time. Go watch the great taking. Look at what I've said to you about the debt market. It's over. You could have a spike of interest rates. All these things could come. We see a spike of interest rates more likely than a lot of things. So to navigate this is counterintuitive, and you need the support of a community that is totally focused on that. And that is my calling, to help people meaningfully at one of the most critical times in our history, to help and preserve their wealth so that they can look after their families. And that is, I think, the gist of my cause. So go watch the YouTube. If you like it, book a call. Thanks very much for having me on.
Hey, thanks, Francis. I'll link to everything. And thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure.